All right, welcome in. Minor Talk is live. We're presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian. He's Sal. We got Zay in the house. Eric's in the house as well. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. Not a good night. La Tech defeats UTEP 69-59. You want to talk about it with us? Let's do it. 915-505-6009. A 10-point loss at home. And, you know, I get it. Like, they're in these games. They make them entertaining. They're hanging around during the late stretch of this one. And they make you believe at times that they're in it. And then those who are not believers would tell you, hey, I was, you know, I saw this coming. Didn't think the Miners would hang around as soon as they started to go on that, or Louisiana Tech went on that huge run in the second half. And as a result, the Miners find themselves again, or as they've been really, near the bottom of Conference USA in a must-win game. You heard from head coach Joe Golding. You know, you heard about the fact that New Mexico State lost today to Delaware as well. These games are important at home. They really are. They've got to get more of these wins under their belt. They have to figure out a way to kind of do this, and it might be too late. I mean, this is a squad right here in UTEP that hasn't really proved it all year long. They kind of are who we thought they were all season long. They're a team that right now has been, you know, really reeling. They've struggled mightily all season long. They're 7-14, 3-7 in conference play. They host Delaware on Saturday. It will be the matchup that could decide the worst team in Conference USA as it is. Delaware hadn't won a game in a while, and they've just knocked off the Aggies. The Miners, the Florida International Panthers, and the Aggies each have 3 wins. They're 3-7 right now as it stands. Delaware 2-7. This is the state of affairs in Conference USA. The league tournament will only take 10 of the 12 squads. We've said it, and I think it's, you know, it's one of those things that UTEP has to kind of keep in the back of their head. Like, yes, they want to make the tournament, but you want to, more than just making the tournament, you want to play good to close out the season and the stretch. And now, midway into conference play, Sal, this team right here is just struggling, and it struggled all year long. I think there were times where we thought, okay, well, maybe they can start to go on a bit of a run. There's individuals I really like on this team. You know, there are individuals that I look and watch at, you know, watch night to night. Like tonight, Elijah Jones just trying his ass off and really giving it his all in this one. 25 points, 5 3-pointers. It wasn't enough in 31 minutes of action. He wasn't really, you know, he's playing more minutes, and he's had an extended leash that he's never had before this season, and he's playing in this leadership role. Kasim Watson comes alive in the second half, pours in 14 of his 20 points in the second half to get the Miners back in the game. But it was really decided by the first half and how the Miners just put up 27 points, and second half was close, sure, and yeah, they kind of came back in the end, but this game was pretty much over at the end of the first half when the Miners kind of bowed out in the first part of it, Sal, and same story, just different game here for UTEP.
Yeah, there was a great analogy by John and Yellen on the broadcast when they were talking about it. They remind them, I'm going to butcher it up a bit, but something along the lines of like a boat or a canoe where you patch something up, and the next thing you know, there's another leak. And, you know, their offense has been more respectable lately. I know they only have 58 points today. I think that's a byproduct of other things. But nonetheless, though, that transition defense was just terrible by the Miners, and that kind of blew things open. I mean, how do you allow a bucket off of a made free throw? I don't understand that. And it happened far too often. And being outscored, what was it, like 22-6 or something in transition? That's not who they are. They got to be out in transition. I don't even think they had a transition bucket in the first half at all. So that run that UTEP had was nice, but Louisiana Tech reminded everybody why they're the Duncan Dogs with their transition game today.
915-505-6009, welcoming on to the program Zay for the first time. Zay was out at the Don Haskins Center tonight, got a chance to witness this one. A crowd that was just uninspired as well. Zay, it's a disappointed crowd here after this one. I was, you know, really disappointed in this one, how it ended up. And I guess that's a key word, what we've seen this season is just disappointment by the Miners. And what they haven't showed on the floor in certain games.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this team, when you look at that second half, you know, they claw their way back in it, but it's too little too late. They can't play complimentary basketball. They can't put together, you know, a stop on one end and a bucket on the other, right? It feels like you're choosing between one and another, and you can't do that when you're playing down the whole game. You know, Sal said it, you're not getting in transition. You didn't force enough turnovers today. I mean, 16, yes, but how many points do you get on fast break? 6? So that doesn't coincide, right? If you force 16 turnovers, you're expected to run in transition to get buckets, and they just weren't able to do that. So, you know, if it weren't for Kasim Watson's late hot streak, I think this could have been an even bigger loss, but, you know, it is what it is. You got to move on to the next one. All I know is this is, I need to go back and look at it, but Louisiana Tech has held UTEP under 60 points a lot in the Joe Golden era. Like, I think maybe 6 out of the 9 games that they've played, like, UTEP has not scored over 60 points, and it just goes to show maybe they're getting outcoached by this Louisiana Tech team.
It's interesting that over the last 2 games, it was double-digit losses by the Miners, and then if you look back to last year quickly, I'm looking at it right now here. Yeah, wow. If I'm not mistaken, Louisiana Tech and the Miners did have a chance to do battle last year. And, yeah, I don't see a victory here for UTEP against Louisiana Tech. I got to double-check on that one right there. I got to make sure that's the case. Yeah, they beat UTEP. Oh, no, they split the series last year. Okay, they split the series last year. But if you look at it right now for Talvin Hester and the success he's had over the Miners, he won the first 2 games that he coached in against UTEP in 2024. And then in the 2023 season against the Miners, you know, they beat UTEP in the first one. They lost in the second one, in the second matchup. So they split the series in 23, split the series last year. This year, the Duncan Dogs, as they wore those jerseys today, they swept the series against UTEP. So, I mean, Sal, we could talk day, you know, everybody's ear off about all our favorite Duncan Dogs of the past, yeah. But I don't want to start there here today. I think it's important to start off where UTEP's at, and that's near the bottom of conference play. This game was so important. I know Louisiana Tech has played a little better as of late. This was their, you know, they've won 4 of their last 5, sure, including an overtime win against Delaware, 1-point win against Middle Tennessee. Last Friday, they beat Kennesaw State, and tonight against UTEP. But this Louisiana Tech team is beatable. And to see UTEP struggle the way that they did, lose by 10 at home, that's not a good thing. And the standings are really important right now. Louisiana Tech 5-4, UTEP 3-7. I mean, that's probably a team in Louisiana Tech that's not, you know, going to miss out on the CUSA tournament if things keep going right for them.
No, definitely not. They're not the best team in Conference USA, not by a long shot, not even in the top tier, if you want to put it that way. But the fact of the matter is that this Louisiana Tech team has a 12-8 record overall. For the Miners, they had a chance, but they're 7-14 after this one. They miss out on the conference tournament. I think we should have this discussion after every game. If the season were to end today, UTEP yet again would miss out on the Conference USA tournament. And they're in a 3-way tie in theory, but those other teams have double-digit wins. The Miners, we're questioning if they're even going to get to that mark this year. So I think that's one thing. And another thing, too, for Louisiana Tech is they're not having a good season by their standard and by their measure as well. I mean, 5-4 in conference play, that's all right, but not in a watered-down Conference USA. So
agreed.
They got higher goals than this. That's a team that's kind of figuring it out right now, but this is their first road win of the season. They had to wait until 2026 and the 2025-26 season to get their first road win. But, hey, they get it. That's another barrier for them to hurdle over, and we'll see where they go. But you're right, man. UTEP, they got a lot to work on.
This is coming in from Poncho on Twitter next. If you want to weigh in, at 600 ESPN El Paso, at Adrian Broadus. Check out our app, 600 ESPN El Paso. You could also message us there. You can call us now at 550-5006-009. Poncho, incredible that UTEP was in it late in the game, shooting 31%. Golding has to go, but still curious about what excuses he uses at today's press conference. Sad UTEP fan. Live photo of Golding in gym center, knowing that they're robbing UTEP blind and no one doing a damn thing. Sad UTEP fan. I will take. I really like that we fought and came back, but need a way to find a way to score for 500, Alex. talking about Jeopardy, a little Jeopardy reference. Tristan Pence, I don't need to hear what Golding has to say unless he's resigning. To summarize the game, one team is coached and one is not. The Miners' guards were awful and outclassed. UTEP played low IQ basketball because the coaches are low IQ. Woof. Manny David, they were down big, but still kept fighting. Close game with a couple minutes to go, just couldn't get it done. Am I disappointed? Yeah, but still supporting at UTEP men's basketball. Hashtag on to the next. Hashtag Miner Talk. This is from Tristan Pence. Again, serious question. What does Jim Center do if UTEP doesn't make the conference tournament? If Joe Golding comes back as coach, there will be significant loss in season ticket support. Hashtag Miner Talk. I will say this. The season ticket support has kind of dwindled, you know, like over the last couple years. And so, I mean, you could blame the lack of winning in that for sure as what we're seeing so far. Yeah, that's kind of where the fan base is at right now. It's disgruntled. It's mad. It's impatient. It wants to win. It doesn't want excuses. They don't want to see them lose it in their home floor. I mean, tonight it was a crowd that I would say was not really. It was hard for them to get into it because in the first half, the fans were excited because the Miners got off to a 13-4 start, and then what? Louisiana Tech marched back and closed out the half on a 30-7 run. That was how much they outscored the Miners by, 30-7 to close out the first half. So the fans were out of it early, and then they got back in it like at the 4-minute mark when UTEP kind of kept it close. It was like, it was like 62-58, and they had, you know, it was a two possession game, but it was hard for the fans to get in this one right here. And I think that's a reflection of where this fan base is at right now.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way of putting it. And I think they even cut it to a one possession game. It might have been down three, and they had the ball, and they just they don't execute. They don't execute down the stretch. And like I said, Kasim Watson hit a couple of threes down that stretch there to really get them close. But who else is stepping up, right? You know, Elijah Jones had a career day, but down the stretch, you need somebody to get buckets. And nobody really was. You know, they try to run the offense through Jamal West. He has 37 minutes tonight, the most on the team. And it's just, it's a disappointing performance from him. 10 points. And, you know, he's out there because he was the only one getting rebounds, right? You get out-rebounded 41-28 tonight at home. Jamal West has 11 of those. Like, it's just incomplete performances on both ends of the floor.
Sal, your thoughts on that?
As far as, what was that last part again?
Well, I was just going to say, like, the overall thought of fan base just kind of being disgruntled right now. I mean, we feel it here on Miner Talk. We've been doing this for a while. Like, this is a basketball town when things are humming, and even when things aren't, right? Like, even when they're struggling, like, the fan base cares so much, so deeply. But now it's just like fan base is checked out here with UTEP.
I think the days of like having a respectable crowd, you know, despite the losing, I think those days are starting to darken just a bit, and we're starting to see it year by year. It's kind of like a death by a thousand cuts in that type of way. It's not instant, but when you keep on having seasons like this, it's going to drop 1%. You're going to lose. You might not lose all the fans in one season, but you might lose 10, you might lose 15. And as those games go on and as the losses keep on piling up, that interest is just going to weaken. I mean, 3,800. Let's go back to UTEP Conference USA games 6 years ago. It's looking nothing like this. And they weren't even the best of the best at that part. They may have been more competitive, but my point is all of those losses are just it's making the crowd not want to go game after game.
3,335 fans in attendance. King Eric was there as well. Eric, how would you describe the fans? It's just been a tough go around here for the season, trying to follow and, I guess, support UTEP.
Yeah, overall, I mean, we all want a winner. We all want something to look forward to, something to make our money's worth whenever we go see this team live. Yeah, it's just frustrating. It's just frustrating in the fact that every year, I think Golding kind of says, like, well, this is this year's different. This year's going to be different. This year is not the same, blah, 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 whatever. And then you go to the games and you see the product, and it's the same thing. It's been the same thing for years, and I know fans are frustrated and, you know, they're calling for Golding's head, rightfully so. So it's just frustrating.
Well, I would say that I think that, you know, there's some, when once the season has some finality, it's easier to kind of make a full analysis of how the season went, but how things are going right now for UTEP has just been like such a bummer right here. Let's go back to the phones right now. 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next if you want to weigh in there. You could also call us again at on our phone lines right now, or chat with us in real time on our app, 600 ESPN El Paso. Download the app, and that's where you can check in with us as well. We're presented by Jack in the Box. Big shout out to Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk. Also want to give a shout out to some of our other supporting sponsors like Thomas Adams Apparel. I love the hats. We're going to have the hats with a link to where people who are not in town, who love the Minor Talk hats just like we do here in the building, can get their own hat. So be on the lookout. The link will drop soon. And the coolest part about it is the proceeds will go back to NIL. I mean, this is really cool. Yeah, this is like kind of a bit of breaking news, right? We haven't really talked about this too much. I'm kind of teasing things, more to come here in the future. But yeah, we want to do our part. We want to give back here on this program. And I think this is a really good way to do it. We've had designers galore, including Zay here in the building, work on our scripts and work on different logos that we've used for our podcast. We messed around with this one right here that went on for the hat itself. And now we're going to get an opportunity to see these really come to life and for the public to get their hands on these instead of just some giveaways on our side. So excited about that. Keith is joining us out in Winnipeg to kick off the show. 915-505-6009. Keith, you've been with us since day one, man. What's going on?
Well, the best night of UTEP athletics is Minor Talk. That's just the fact of life right now. The best part of the whole game was the wait for the post game show. I'm there's nothing that I want to say, or I should say this. I'll rephrase this. What I really want to say, I won't say on the radio, but I'm done. I am so done with this team. I'm so done with every one of our teams. Maybe we got to start covering, like, I don't know, like women's volleyball or I don't know, swimming, aquatics, anything, like, because this ain't working for us. This ain't healthy for us. I mean, we fans can't be healthy rooting for our Miners football or a basketball programs. It's impossible. I'm the most stressed out sports fan in North America. My Vikings missed the playoffs.
Ugh.
My Miners, you know, we just talked about that. The Winnipeg Jets basically been the last place hockey team in NHL. I got nothing going for me for sports right now. Absolutely nothing. I just don't know what to say. I do remember a couple months ago after a football postgame show, I said, you know what, I'm done with the football program, which I still am today, but I promised I was going to do something about it. And I'm going to say this right now. You give me 3 days, I'm going to have ourselves a new head basketball coach. This is the worst program in the history of UTEP basketball. I was told years ago, and I respectfully agreed that we couldn't come on a radio show and criticize these athletes because they were amateurs. We couldn't call them out. We couldn't call, you know, I'm not saying call them names, but I'm just saying we couldn't call them out. We couldn't say that they sucked. It was inappropriate because they were amateurs. Well, now that they're getting paid, I will say this. These UTEP basketball players have no heart, have no drive. I don't know what they're, like, why are they here? This has nothing to do with even talent. I watched this game with six of my buddies today. We got off to a hot start. One of my buddies, who is not really a fan, but he's like, oh, you guys are going to be pretty good here. Looking good. I says, wait, 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes. And they were down by like double digits. Like, this is beyond ridiculous.
They roped and you back in, though. They roped you back in.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Even when they got down by 6 points, I says, you know what? I said to my buddy, I said, how much you want to make a bet? They won't even score 4 more points. And I basically won. It's because I know this team too well. The head coach has lost this team. What he's saying post-game, I don't, whatever, blah. He knows this is a lost cause. And when they hired him, I had a little bit of a hope. And I'll never forget it. When they made it to the conference championship game and they lost all these players like Boom and all those, I can't remember his name now, his first name.
Sule Boom.
I never forget
him.
I remember calling in. And we were talking about this, like, why are we losing these players? Something happened there that triggered this, and we have not recovered from that moment on. When we started losing these players, there was something going on, and we could never recover from that. And he can't recruit. He can't hit the transfer portal. He can't do nothing. So, athletic director, I know you're listening. I know you're listening. It's time to face the facts. We are moving to a new conference. We have to go big. Give me 30 days. I will call back, and I'll tell you which coach to hire. And by the way, Adrian, I didn't tell you this. I am becoming a big-time booster. I am supporting
this
program.
Let's go.
Fans that say, oh, talk is cheap. No. My money, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I am not coming to you, El Paso in March. I was supposed to come there in March. I canceled my trip. I said, I'm not going. I'm going to be going there in May or June. I'm not going there for nothing sports-related, just family-related, okay? But when I'm there, I will write the check. And that's a fact. And if the athletic director does not listen to me with my opinions, I'm still going to donate. I'm going to give him 1 year. Because this UTEP, I'm telling everyone back at El Paso, do not sell yourself short. UTEP Miners Athletics should be way better than what they are. You guys, we should be competing for conference championships year in, year out. Next year, we should be looking at Mountain West Conference Championships in football. But we're not going to get there because we keep on hiring the wrong people, period. And I'm tired of it.
All right, Keith. Good monologue. Appreciate you venting your frustrations. You know what? It's interesting because the cast of Minor Talk characters don't call in like game to game like they used to. It's okay. Like this season is what it is, and that's why. Like we used to have like cast of characters who'd call every single show. It was like one after the other, after the other, after the other. But now instead, Sal, our cast of Minor Talk characters who call in often to the show are now calling in after the game. That kind of breaks the you know, kind of like breaks them, you know, emotionally in a sense. And we're getting the rant from Keith tonight. We had the rant from Ronnie recently. We heard from Hunter not too long ago, you know, as well. And when we get these fans who've been with us really since day one for Minor Talk, they'll go on the rants, they'll voice their frustrations, and I hear where they're coming from. But isn't it interesting that it's kind of like for every tier of Minor Talk caller, like the Call of Famers, kind of like Keith over here, they'll call in once this season, they'll vent all their frustrations, and yeah, that's just kind of how it is this year.
And the sad part is, I'll just use this year as an example. The sad part is the variety of callers that we've had that have had that tone, like, hey, I've had it. It's been at different points in the season. And how many wins have been accomplished since probably the first call? What, maybe three? Maybe three? You know what I mean? And I'm also thinking about it, too, in this sense, like, here they're saying, like, everybody has a price. Well, everybody has a breaking point. So do with that what you will.
There you go. Keith, I wish you well when it comes to the NIL donations on your side of things and this just donations and being a booster in the future. Any final words here for us here back in El Paso as you're joining us from Winnipeg?
Yeah, one last thing. So what you said there is true. I noticed that. But here's the thing, though. Just because I don't call on every show does not mean I don't listen to every show.
I appreciate it.
I pretty much listen to every single live show that's in the evening games, the afternoon games. I always listen to your podcast, like online on whatever it is. I always listen to it. I do want to just bring up one thing. You, during the football season, you had yourself live on an app. I can never find that for the basketball program. You don't post that anymore.
You know what?
You guys just don't do that.
So our guy Chris, we've told him, hey man, it's a big setup, Keith. Like, and I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. Yeah, we were live every single football game, you know, throughout the season on Inspo Lens. And I told Chris, actually the group here, we all told Chris, who's like, man, he put so much effort, he put so much work into doing that, the actual video portion of it, and we have a huge setup. It's almost like we change our studio to like a TV studio, and it's a huge setup. We're going to run it back for the New Mexico State game. We're going to have a live broadcast for that, so stay tuned so you can watch us for Minor Talk. But right, Sal? Like, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, this was kind of an internal discussion, and like the way that things were going this year, we were just like, hey, look, like, let's save these efforts to other points of the year. So I appreciate that you like those, Keith. We'll run it back here on February 7th. We're not done on the live stream. Chris is still doing that with us.
No, there's a whole process to it, and also just kind of behind the scenes stuff. Like, the preparation time is usually set for both sports. However, you don't have as much preparation time for basketball as you do football. The post-game shows are longer. The breaks are longer, just in general, right? But that's pretty much it. It's like there's a whole lot that goes into it. I mean, you could start halftime and then, you know, post-game is here, whatever the case is, and you're still setting up. So that's how long it takes. I mean, it's all good. We'll get him here for the series games.
And the interesting part about it is Chris is a big baller. Like, he loves basketball. He's a big-time basketball fan. So that's why we had to involve him in the ESPN fantasy, or I should say the UTEP basketball fantasy side of things. So shout out Chris. We appreciate him on Inspo Lens. Zay, we'll be back on camera, right? We'll be back.
We will, and me and Chris will have to run back our PS2 game. My guy Eric, both of you guys left and missed like an all-time classic on NCAA 08 or something. I don't even remember what it was, but it was like an all-time classic, me and Chris.
I love it.
Like, genuinely, I wish it was on YouTube. Like, I
we need to do that. We need to stream some college basketball 09 instead of live streaming minor talk.
I was getting like fried by Randy Culpepper. I had East Carolina. I was getting fried by UTEP. I was down by like 30, and I made the most immaculate comeback with like 5 minutes left. It was great. I had so much fun. So we need to get that going.
I think we could multitask, Sal. We could maybe start live streaming the video games and minor talk together just to spice things up. What do you think?
I like it. We'll even match the uniforms and stuff, and we'll align the broadcast. I don't know. We'll see what we do. That'd be fun.
All right, back to the phones we go. Full phone lines. Appreciate that. 915-505-6009, our telephone number. Orly's next up with us. Then we've got our pal, Minor Eddie Mack, which I'm super excited to hear from him. Orly is first up with us, though. Orly, good evening, man. You're hanging around with us this late. You must be really disappointed.
It's been like this since last year's New Mexico State game. Someone said, we don't get crowds like, we had a crowd. Last year, a sellout. That's where the turning point went. You had a sellout in front of the new Mountain West commissioner, and you lose by 30. There's no excuse for this anymore, guys. You know, he likes to put things on his shirt. Remember, what was it last year, 1538, whatever it was?
1033.
1033. Then you get swept by that team that you put your moniker on. He needs to put on there now, 3-21 against Division I opponents.
Wow.
3-21.
Man.
Put that on the shirt.
Is it four? Is it 4-21? Because they've won four this year, and then you go back to last year with the losing streak,
about
right?
You go back to the last 24 games against Division I opponents. It was 3-20. Somebody called in earlier today. It's now 3-21. Boy, is that deserving of an extension?
Tough times,
more
Orly.
People. That extension was a joke, and I know a lot of people that follow UTEP. They couldn't understand that extension. You can hear it in his voice. You know he's in trouble. Who is the first to go? The guy at New Mexico State or the guy at UTEP?
I'll say this. They've got a new AD over there. They're not winning. Those fans are really upset, just like the UTEP fans are really upset. They put a lot of money into that team over there, from what I heard. UTEP has money into them. They're near the middle of the conference. But if you actually looked at what I've heard from New Mexico State's NIL, theirs is near the top of the conference. So they have one of the best players in the conference in Jamel Jones, by the way, who I love as a guard. And I know required some, you know, steep NIL to go over there to New Mexico State. And they're not winning. That's Jason Hooten, who was, by the way, you know, just to bring it up, you know, this was a guy that Aggies fans were really excited when they hired him after Greg Heyer. And, you know, the program went in shambles in that 2023 season where they had to cancel the rest of the year. year. They were real excited from Jason Hooten. He was 13-9 his first season with the Aggies, 17-15 last year. This year they're 10-10, and they started off 6-0, so haven't been good at all since. Orly, the funny thing is, just like last year, the season was kind of defined by New Mexico State. This year it might come back the same way. Like February 7th here at the Don Haskins Center, which is next Saturday, that could decide the final spot for the Conference USA tournament when it's all said and done.
Why would you want to get in and get embarrassed?
Yeah, is it a one and done?
And I'm
for both sides, for both sides, right?
You know, hey, listen to Yellen. Well, you know, we get to the tournament, all we need is two wins. Really? Really, Yellen? You're saying that on the radio? I just, there's got to be a reset.
Yeah, I hear you, Orly.
Dr. Wilson has to look deep into the administration of the athletic department. It's like a business. You're funneling money. You're losing money. Even the $9.15 tickets are not selling now. The fan base has checked out. And it started last year, that New Mexico State game. And you have a fan base here who's hungry. But you're not putting a product out there.
No, I hear you, Orly. Hey, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. I'm a back Yellen, just to know that he's always glass half full. So I'll be the Steve Yellen backer here on the program. So just to clean that up there. But good call there, Orly. Appreciate it. And thanks for voicing the frustrations. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box. Minor Eddie Mack coming up next right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Thank you very much, Sal. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. You clarified the stat. Go ahead, Sal.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of looking back at it, and I'm just going off of the last nine games of last year, starting with that losing streak, one win smashed in there, but basically 5-22 against Division I teams in their last 27.
Including the Conference USA tournament win. So if you took that one out, you might say, what, 4-21, right?
Exactly, yeah. But I just want to be as generous as possible when we're talking about losses in that same respect, because at the end of the day, like, big whoop, 5 wins instead of 4, like, big deal.
I hear you on that. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. Next up, Minor Eddie Mack. He's back with us. It's been a while, Minor Eddie Mack. The last time I saw you, you saved me in an Uber. I was stranded without a car, so I appreciate you big time. That's the last time since I've talked to you. I never got to publicly thank you, so this is here, me thanking you again. This was when I got in a car accident back in October, and you saved me, man. So it's great to talk to you on the phones, man. How you doing?
Good, but I was going to use a cognito of Milkman 2.
That would have been better. I like that. Milkman 2. That's a good one. We haven't heard from Milkman. Shout out to Milkman. He's our guy.
Honestly, the program hasn't really been relevant for me since Tony Barbie left.
Minor Eddie Mack, you were drinking orange Kool-Aid not more than 5 years ago. Don't tell me this. You were singing the praises of these programs here.
There's been a few highs here, but honestly, it hasn't even been consistent enough to really. You know, there's been a few highs. There's been some talented players. The coach from Texas, I'm trying to remember his name. He had that second year when he had a ton of talent.
Rodney Terry. Don't forget his name.
He didn't know how to manage all that talent he had. Remember that second year when he had all those guys? Oh, he had a ton of talent.
Some of those guys are even playing professional basketball still.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was amazing how much talent he put in. His bench was loaded. He could have actually ran two first strings. And he could have changed them. But the reason that I called is because I've been so out of connected with the program, in all honesty. I thought that this year was actually going to be our first year in the Mountain West. And I kept thinking, well, what is the strategy behind the decision? What is the strategic strategy behind the decision for the extension? Was it, and this is philosophically why I called you guys, was it that you wanted to be have the team prepared to go into the new conference and build the team up? Or should you have just started fresh and gone into the conference? But we're going to be in that situation either way. What was the thinking behind it? What do you guys think about that?
This is what I would say. Like, based on what we've reported on the record and with the extension when it initially – is that what you're talking about, Minor Eddie Mac? I just want to be clear. You're talking about the philosophy of the extension, knowing that this was the last year in Conference USA and there's 2 years in Mountain West. That's your question, correct?
Well, yes, but what I'm referring to is at the time that they gave him the extension, he only had 1 year left or
right.
He was in his last year.
Okay, so the strategic strategy behind it was the fact that this group right here and kind of just basketball in general, when you're recruiting on a year-to-year basis or you're recruiting to move to the Mountain West and you've got younger guys in your pipeline, you're still going after high school commits, to make a coach, you know, coach out his contract is basically saying you're out. Like, you're not our guy in the future. And I think there was willingness on both sides with Golding and the athletic department last year to work out that extension, to have that security in place, to have him in the Mountain West going into that year one. Like, they wanted to be here mid-season or mid-year with the current guys they have on their roster and then new guys that they want to bring in and say, hey, look, like, this is what we're going to build toward going into the Mountain West. So that's kind of the strategy. Is like, it's not the typical, I guess, thought now here in 2026 is it's year to year roster making. The transfer portal makes it to where you have a completely new roster every single season. But you'd like to think that programs try to develop cultures that are kind of like, okay, well, regardless of the players we put in place, we'll just kind of plug and play them in our system. And when you think of Joe Golden coach squads, you're always thinking of stellar defense. You're always thinking of forcing a lot of turnovers. You're always thinking about those things when it comes to UTEP and Golding. That's kind of their brand of basketball. This year, on the defensive side, I'd say, of the five years that he's been here, including this year, there's not a defense that I would say is worse than this year's defense. They're, near the second or the bottom third of KenPom in adjusted defense right now as it stands. And I think that tells a lot that, even though they're trying to work around this system, which is the Joe Golding coach squad, this defense has kind of taken a bit of a step back. So that's a long-winded answer to kind of answer your question right there about why they maybe thought about doing this. And I don't know if that's like the for sure reason, but the long story short of it is to offer some security in place, knowing that you're going into a conference like the Mountain West, and knowing that you have a plan in place for the future. Because if things were going well, like if the record was flipped, or if this was a contending squad as it stands right now, then you'd think, on the flip side, you'd say, well, good thing that we have Golding going into the Mountain West, starting that, new era of UTEP basketball. It just flipped the complete other way. Like, when they were initially having these conversations, it was when UTEP was rolling last year. And, I don't know if they would have done anything different knowing how college basketball is and knowing how hard it is to just get coaches at UTEP, knowing how tough of a job it really is at UTEP. And some might roll their eyes and say, well, it's been done here in El Paso. It's been done at other schools that are much worse than UTEP or on paper, or, judging a book by its cover. But, yeah, that's kind of how I'd answer that question right there.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I know what you're saying, because if we didn't do the contract extension, then this would have technically been his last year. But what would he have done? I mean, you could have ended it this season. You could have said, okay, we're going into a new conference. We had a new coach. But I don't know. That's the thinking for me. I know what you're trying to say. You were trying to give him some security and give the team some stability as they went in. But last year, we tanked terribly.
Sure.
I don't know. it's just, it's been a long time. To be honest with you, it's been a lot of frustration. It really has. But I don't know. Do you guys feel have a little bit of enthusiasm because we're moving into the Mountain West?
Sure, sure. At least it's you're not looking at teams like Delaware and Jacksonville State and Missouri State coming to the Don Haskins Center. At least it's new uniforms that you get a little bit more excited about, like Wyoming. I know that results are going to define everything going into the Mountain West, and everybody feels like the momentum is not there when it comes to moving to a better conference like that. But I guess we've said it before. Hopefully you can mimic the people that you're around, that you surround yourself with, and that's what UTEP has to hope going into the Mountain West when you're going to be with the likes of New Mexico, the likes of UNLV, the likes of Grand Canyon, the likes of Nevada, like these squads who are putting real dollars in their basketball program, winning, and also a multi-bid league. So that's another thing I can get excited about and have some enthusiasm about right there. Minor Eddie Mack, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you for weighing in. Just to clean up real quick on the Keith from Winnipeg call, he's hammering some of the players saying how, there was now they all make money, so this is the time to tell them and hold them accountable and all of that. There are some guys I really like. I said it at the start. There are some guys I really like on this team, guys. Like, there are some guys like Elijah Jones, like for him to lay it out on the line and look at the stats. The numbers don't lie. Like, I love the Teicher stat at the end of it. The 2-point shots, you take away the perimeter, the 2-point shots tonight, they were 29%. Like, that's terrible. And I really like the number, the other number to look at here tonight, Elijah Jones, Jamal West Jr., Kasim Watson. We've been on top of this for minor talk about, I would say, right as non-conference play ended, we were right on top of it, that this is the trio that is going to decide how UTEP goes. Well, the trio was the only three who showed up tonight. They accounted for 55 of UTEP's 59 points. How is that winning basketball?
And that's something that Golden alluded to in postgame. I'm going to paraphrase it, but more along the lines of, like, Elijah has 15 shots, Kasim 16, and Jamal West at 8. Doing the math, I think that's like 39 shots. He kind of wants to spread it out a bit more to other guys. But those are the guys who are rising to the occasion, Adrian. Everybody else who played today had one or fewer buckets, if they even took one. So do with that what you will.
Yeah, the shot attempts is another frustrating thing to me, Zay. Like, well, if you can't get the shot up, or if you can't do that on your side to where you're not even attempting those, Zay. Like, that's the number that I look at. Like, okay, Caleb Blackwell, 1 for 5. All right, 5 shots. The shot's just not falling down. L.A. Hayes, 3 attempts only in this matchup, but only 3 minutes. Like, he really didn't get the minutes that some fans wanted him to get off the bench. KJ Thomas, 1 for 3 from the floor. He had 2 turnovers and one at a costly time, but he has 2 points in 36 minutes of action. Like, they've got to get some more production, Zay, from some of their other guys.
Yeah, they do. And I think the question needs to be raised is why, in a game where you mentioned it, Caleb Blackwell and KJ Thomas combined to go 2 for 8 from the field with no other guard making a single shot. Why is L.A. Hayes not playing more minutes, right? Why, it doesn't make, why does Cassius Brooks get more minutes than L.A. Hayes? Why does Bobby Montgomery Jr. get more minutes than L.A. Hayes? Why does Muhammad Bey get more minutes than, I don't get it. I know he didn't have the greatest start to this, but he's not a bad player. And he provides you a spark offensively that you just have not had. I'd rather have L.A. Hayes go 0 for 3 in 2 minutes than Caleb Blackwell go 1 for 5 in 33 minutes. And the defensive drop-off obviously can't be that bad because they were getting scored on all night, basically, especially from the perimeter. So I don't know why a guy like L.A. Hayes just isn't used more.
I want to give props to Kasim Watson. I thought Joe Golden did a really good job earlier this week in the coaches show talking about and shining a light on Kasim Watson. And I think that he put it in a pretty good way that Watson didn't know that this was kind of going to be the role. And when he had this, more of a focused role offensively, it took some time, but now he's really embraced it. And Zay, like, this guy right here, imagine if they didn't have Kasim Watson. Like, I feel like he is one of those guys who might be an unsung hero. And you know what? He honestly provides a really cool spark. I like how he kind of talks smack. He does this thing where he looks at the bench sometimes after a big shot. He is currently averaging 12 a game, 4 rebounds, 1.5 assists, and almost shooting 40% here this season. Like, this is a guy who's brought a lot of value to this team, and I don't know if he knew that this was going to be his role.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, they've needed all the points. They've needed everything that they've gotten out of Kasim, and he's gotten better and better as the game has gone on, as the season has gone on. And I feel like, you know, that first part also stays true. He gets so much better in the second half. I feel like he finds his groove a little bit more, finds his jumper. He's one of those guys, like, once you see it go in, he starts getting a little hot, right? He didn't hit anything from beyond the arc until like 5 minutes, and boom, boom, he hits a couple straight, and UTEP's right back in it. So I really like what I've seen out of him. He's gotten more physical, you know, especially defensively. This guy, he's willing to, you know, take on the big guys. I mean, he's at the end of the day, he's a big, right? But it's harder. He's a little slimmer defensively in the interior, but he's gotten tougher. So really got to give credit to him, because, you know, that trio of Jamal, Elijah, and Kasim, like, without them, without even one of them, this team probably doesn't win. They probably only have like 3 wins, honestly.
Sal, is Caleb Blackwell the Devin Barnes of this team?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I guess production-wise, if you want to put it that way, yeah. I see the styles just a little bit different.
Yeah.
But with Blackwell, man, that 33 minutes is weighing heavy. I agree totally. I think LA Hayes does have to get some more minutes. You get to see the production. They had a hot start the other day when he was in the game as well. So I think you can kind of get out to a quicker start on offense. I know they did that today, but it got overshadowed. Like, it was kind of like a thunderstorm. It just rained. The next thing you know, La Tech was up. So Devin Barnes, man, I don't know. Talk to me in a couple weeks. We'll see.
What do you think about that comparison, Zay?
Man, that's hard. That's you know, they play the same too. Like, they kind of play the same. But look, at the end of the day, all I got to say is they're, you know, Caleb Blackwell comes from South Plains Junior College, and he played with this prolific scorer. He's the number one scorer in Division I right now. He was under-recruited. No one recruited him. And, you know, there's a lot of outside factors with this guy. His name is Dior Johnson. And I've been a fan of Dior Johnson since I was, like, in middle school. Like, I fangirled over this guy. And he's had an up-and-down career. Like, honestly, he really has. And he ends up at Tarleton State, under-recruited out of JUCO. You know, he went to, like, 7 different schools in high school. He's, like, a 4 or 5 star. And he's dropping, like, 23 a game at Tarleton State. Imagine if – and UTEP could have landed a guy like this. He's coming off the bench for the Texans. This is the recruit that's in, you know, UTEP's atmosphere that you need to go after. You need to roll the dice on a guy like that. You need to get your version of Malachi Nelson in here if you're Joe Golden, because, you know, this recruiting just isn't working, you know, and you got some money to play with. You got to go out there and you got to take some shots, and I don't think they've been taking enough shots recruiting-wise, and you're seeing that here.
Dior Johnson, by the way, is the second leading 3-point percentage scorer right now in college basketball at 57% from beyond the arc. So there you go. There's your Dior Johnson corner right there. By the way, Tarleton State, not like they're good, or that good, I should say. They've lost 4 in a row, 4 of their last 5 with former UTEP coach Billy Gillespie. They're 11-9, and yeah, they're you know, right there. It's kind of like a very Billy Gillespie team where he gets one guy and just try to surround that one guy with everybody else. Eric, you always have the task each game, kind of three plays or, you know, 3 moments to kind of swung the game either way, and, you know, tonight it was all Louisiana Tech 69-59 over UTEP. What were the 3 plays that stood out to you?
Yeah, 3 plays that kind of stood out to me. Two were in the first half, the 15:42 mark. It was the media break. UTEP was up 13-4. They were shooting 83.3% from the field.
Look good.
A
they
whopping
looked good.
100% from 3-point range. 3 for 3 on that. But then the negative with that, 3:18 mark right before halftime. Louisiana Tech went on that big scoring run. They got up 34-20. And at that point, UTEP was shooting 32% from the field, and that dropped all the way down to 30% from the 3-point mark. It's just terrible. Second half really was all Louisiana Tech. But the one that stood out to me was 7:10. UTEP was trying to make a little comeback, but Louisiana Tech got it up to 59-48, and that's kind of really what stopped UTEP's momentum and stopped really the possible comeback. I think right there was the point where La Tech started to distance themselves a little bit at that point in time. Obviously, like 3-4 minutes later, UTEP started to come back. But I think at this point in time, it was kind of a tell of UTEP might not pull this one back out.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think it was good that you indicated that 13-4 start. I think that start right there made me believe and actually made me think, okay, well, could UTEP really respond in a positive way? And that was a really nice start. I can't tell you exactly what was the issue during that stretch where basically Louisiana Tech outscores them 30-7 to close out the half, Eric, but like my issue with them was this is a bad three-point shooting Bulldogs team, and they were nailing every three.
Yeah, they were hot. It seemed like kind of like what Zay was saying with Kasim. Once they were shooting, they were going down, and UTEP at the second half, it was the opposite, right? They were shooting and nothing was going down. Like they couldn't buy a bucket. I think that's ultimately what we lost in the game.
The shooting splits are crazy when you look at it. Tale of two halves, 43% for Louisiana Tech in the first half, 28% in the second. That tells you a lot right there, you know, as we wind it down, I should say, here on Minor Talk, 915-505-6009. If you want to duck in super late call, now's the time to do it. Quickly pinging around here some other topics before we wind down. I don't know if you guys saw, I threw it on X, the new finds today at the Don Haskins Center, the 60th anniversary t-shirts from Adidas for the 60th anniversary of the 1966 Texas Western basketball squad that won a national championship for UTEP. These are the first time I'm seeing these in person. I don't walk the concourse that much, but they do. They have the 60 in the front. They have the basketball in the front. They have Texas Western. They have the Adidas logo, and on the back it's 60. So I like that. I really like the polos until I saw the price. I think it's like $140. But the polos themselves are super nice. They're like this like interesting color, interesting pattern. And then when you look at inside, it's all different words. And all the words like stand out. It's like Glory Road, Texas Western, Flying Miners, Bear's Den. You see all these cool like letters, and it's all like just a big, kind of like like a montage, or I don't even know how to say it. It's so late that my brain is fried right now. But any thoughts on these T-shirts or anything that I'm talking about as far as the polos go?
I saw them, and they look pretty nice. They look pretty nice. I love Texas Western gear, and Flying Miners. You said that, and I'm like, why? They need to make a jersey like that, you know? Yeah, and I saw in the Louisiana Tech jersey, they're known as it, but it was the Dunkin' Dogs. Like, why don't they have a Flying Miners jersey? That would be sick. But other than that, yeah, saw the Texas Western polos. When is the commemorative or the memorial? What is the game for the 60s?
Where they recognize it. It's been very under talked about, so I haven't heard anything about it. Hopefully we hear more about that soon, because that 66 team needs celebrating, needs recognizing. It's 60 years this year. I remember the 50th anniversary and how amazing it was, all the different things that they did with it and involving it. So I really want things to be recognized this time around for the 60th anniversary. So we'll do our part here on Minor Talk as that kind of continues. But February is the month that you kind of look at that month for recognizing the 66 team, the 60th year, by the way. That's awesome stuff. Sal, do Blazers belong in college basketball? La Tech showed up today wearing sports coats. The Talvin Hester, he had the Blazer look, no tie, but and he had some sneakers, but rocking a more, now it's old school look, but it's really like now what we've seen post COVID, everybody's cash on the sidelines.
Mike McDaniels and stuff.
Yeah, so it's not throwing it back too far, but Talvin Hester and the La Tech Bulldogs coaching staff all in sports coats tonight. What do you think? Sports coats back in basketball?
If you win, you can wear whatever you want. I'll put it that way.
Zay, Eric, any thoughts?
Personally, I actually enjoyed it when coaches wear in a suit and tie.
Okay.
Personally, that was me.
So you want the tie, too. You want the tie.
You got to look professional.
Rodney Terry used to rock a tie. Yes, Zay, do you remember that?
You know, I do remember that. And then he'd go into his post-game presser, and you know his voice would be half gone, or maybe that was just his regular voice. Honestly, we all know how RT sounded, but I call me old school, call me old fashioned. I want my coach on the sideline in a full fitted tie, a suit, you know, everything. The shoes, the beautiful shoes, and you can sneak some Jordans in on there sometimes with the suit. But
Sal texted me as soon as while you were talking, Rodney, best kicks for any UTEP coach, no question.
That's what I'm saying. You know. Rodney had the waxed head. Like, sometimes his head would shine, and it would just look awesome. Like, I would love it. He looked professional on the sideline, losing his mind sometimes. Like, we need that back. I want all the coaches, like, I'm tired of these quarter zips. You need quarter zips. Soon enough, we're going to get hoodies on the sideline, guys. Come on. Or I'm going to see, like, a guy in basketball shorts, the assistant coach or something. Like, no, let's go full suit and tie, take some of that NIL fun, and go rent some.
I got it. How come in MLB the managers can dress up? I want coaches to dress up full uniform. And if you were a guard, you get the privilege of doing like a shooting sleeve or like a wristband. If you were a big man, I want to see a headband.
Headbands across the board for head coaches would be awesome.
Some need it.
Some do. Oh, not Golding. His hair is good. Other coaches have that receding hairline. I'm cul-de-sac. With you on that. Yeah, there you go, the cul-de-sac. Chris from Inspo Lens with a long message. I'll read it all because we love our guy Chris. Let's be real for a second. What exactly is Joe Golding building here? Because right now UTEP basketball's offense is bad. Not needs time, not young roster. Bad, just bad. Long scoring droughts, no flow, no identity, showing some promise, but then reverting backward. And the part that's really concerning, the defense hasn't been good either. And that was supposed to be Golding's thing. So there's an honest question. Where is the player development? Who's clearly better now that they were in November? Who's clearly who's taking a leap during the season? Possibly just Elijah Jones and Kasim Watson. More importantly, the coach should show some progress. We keep hearing trust the process, but at some point the process has to show up on the court. And you look around, Stephen F. Austin, a smaller school with fewer resources, is winning with tougher, high-caliber players, which UTEP News pointed out today. So that leads to another question. Why can Stephen F. Austin recruit those guys, but UTEP can't? Now let's compare that to football. Scotty Walden can recruit, but is lacking in so many things and other parts of the program and in the win column. There's some good recruits coming in. EJ Colson, the biggest one. Basketball doesn't have that right now, and that's a problem in the city. It's supposed to be a basketball city and university originally, but the program has just been on a downward spiral since Tim Floyd resigned, and now worse more than ever. The loss to La Tech just feels like another drop in the bucket in already a bad season, and it makes you ask, are we actually moving forward or just being sold on possibilities? The fans keep getting sold on next year. Next year has been 15 years now, and now the Mountain West is coming. That should excite fans, but here's the uncomfortable part. What happens if UTEP struggles there too, which most likely they will? Does the Mountain West feel exciting or embarrassing? Because losing in a bigger league doesn't hurt less, it hurts more. What is the chance that Golding gets fired at the end of the season or he resigns? If they don't make the CUSA tournament or lose the first game of the tournament, and how long are fans supposed to wait, according to the UTEP athletic program, to have a consistent winning program in football and basketball? There you go. That's Chris from Inspo Lens. Zay, I don't know if we have fantasy tonight. We might have to punt to Saturday. What are we saying? We punting to Saturday, or we're taking a break and revisiting next week? What are we saying?
Let's punt to Saturday.
Okay,
Saturday.
We'll punt to Saturday for fantasy. No worries there. This pretty much did it for us, guys. I appreciate everybody chiming in. Appreciate all the comments on social media. Appreciate the callers today. String of callers, and it's good to just hear from people here after games. Hasn't been the case here this season, but we do, like Keith was saying, we do notice that people are still listening. We still see all the comments even after the fact on podcasts and people listening on demand and stuff like that. I get texts after the fact, like a day and a half later, like, hey, I was listening to Minor Talk, here are my thoughts, and then somebody will send me like a long thing. So I appreciate that too. Like that's really well received here on the program. And, you know, we do it because of all the listeners out there and all the people who support us. Hey, we'll be back in action Saturday. No Zay, no Sal. I think I'll be riding solo. Maybe Eric will help me out here and join us. No Tafoya either. So it's going to be a true one man show on Saturday. But, guys, I'll hold down the fort for us on Saturday. No show next Wednesday as UTEP plays Sam Houston for Minor Talk. But we'll be back in action. I think it's going to be the biggest one, right? We're all going to rejoin this whole squad right here next Saturday. Not this Saturday, next Saturday. It's UTEP taking on New Mexico State. There you go. That's our ones right there. Guys, thank you all so much. For King Eric, for Sal Montes, for Zay Galindo, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're signing off tonight, and thank you so much for listening to Minor Talk, presented by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.